Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who's called us here by the power of his Holy Spirit. I am holding in my midst here a Holy Bible and New International Version that has my name on it in gold. And it's my Bible that was given to me on April 22nd, 1990, which is 28 years ago. Am I old enough to have 28-year-old things? When did that happen? But this Bible was given to me at my confirmation all those years ago when I was 12 years old in 1990. And I have kept that over the years, presented to me, James Robert Sands, by the First United Methodist Church of Carmichael's, Pennsylvania, on Confirmation Sunday, and signed by my pastor, David Hughes, from so many years ago, who was an inspiring preacher, who taught us about Jesus and did that faithfully every single week. And so I am blessed to be part of the continuation of ministry that was poured into my life all those years ago. And I'm here because of great preachers in my life who inspired me and taught me about Jesus, and not just preachers, but Sunday school teachers and people who walked with me in my journey of faith, my mother, my father, all of that. And it's a day of celebration for me, giving thanks to God for all God has done for me in my life, and looking forward to what God has next, looking forward to what God is going to do in the future as well. I'm going to invite you to come with me into Scripture, into the book of Acts again, to the fourth chapter, beginning with the fifth verse. And we're coming in the middle of a story, and we're going to leave it before the story is completed. I use this thing that sometimes pastors use to form this series called a lectionary, which takes portions of the Scripture and presents them to pastors to wrestle with and study over and to present them to the church. And so for this one, it's kind of a snippet of a larger story, and we'll talk about that as we go into our time of studying this word today. But listen for what God is saying to you. He is always speaking through these words. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are here asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I'm going to add one more verse that I didn't tell the sound team about, but it's easy to remember. It's the very last verse of the very last chapter of the book of Judges, which goes something like this. There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. God, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we are thankful that we can gather here to praise and glorify your name. These words challenge us, God. They always do. So challenge us further. Help them to become something that dwells within us, that guides and directs our path every single day. In Jesus' name. Amen. So as I say, this is part of a larger story found in the book of Acts of this healing that takes place at the temple. There is a man who is begging at the temple. And every day, people would pass him, and if they had silver or gold or something to give him to eat, they might throw something in his collection plate. And he did that every single day. I'm sure that was not a pleasant sight to have to go every day and see this man at the temple begging. And we know this. If you ever go into a larger city, you oftentimes will see people on the side of the road holding their little signs. You know, anything helps. You know, we'll work for food. You know, I lost my job looking for help. You know, we see those signs, and oftentimes our minds are attuned to, don't let me make eye contact with them because then they might notice me. And if they notice me, they might want something from me, and I just don't want to give it. Or I don't want to know too much about your story. I just want to throw something at you so that you will leave me alone so I can move on to my day. And that was the situation presented to two of the disciples of Jesus called Peter and John. They're coming to this temple, here is this beggar. Anything to help, sir. Gold or silver will be great. And Peter says these words, I don't have silver, and I don't have gold. Neither gold or silver do I have, but I do have this. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And that man who had been sitting there and had been lame for 40 years got up and walked into the temple, and didn't just walk into the temple, danced into the temple, praising God for what God had done. Now, this was no charlatan. This was no man who was pretending to be lame. He was lame for 40 years. There was no denying. Maybe he had people in his life who helped him along his way, people who were willing to do something. But Peter couldn't give him silver, couldn't give him gold, but he gave him what he needed, the power of Jesus Christ, which was so powerful in that man's body that he rose up out of that spot that he'd been in and went into the temple dancing and praising and singing to God. Amazing story. And it was as amazing then as it is now. And it was amazing to the leaders of the temple who were wondering, what's going on with that guy? Why is he dancing and singing and making a ruckus here in the church? And so they call him over and question him, what's going on with you? And the man says, those two guys healed me. Those two guys healed me. They told me something about this guy named Jesus, and I got up and walked. And you can imagine, the temple leaders were the ones who had just said, crucify him. And now there was these rumors going around that that man who they'd crucified had risen from the dead. And they were trying the best they could to keep the name of Jesus out of the public eye. Now this man is who people had passed him every day. They knew he was lame. He's singing the praises of this guy named Jesus. We got to put a stop to this right now. So they call in Peter and John, and they call in this man who was formerly lame but now can walk. They say, what's going on with you guys? What are you doing talking about Jesus to this man? And Peter again speaks boldly and says, it wasn't John and I who healed this man. It was Jesus Christ who you crucified. He's the one who healed this man. And he used us to do it. Glory to God. And that was not what those leaders wanted to hear. The name of Jesus Christ was not the name that they wanted to hear in their ears. And so they rebuked them strongly. I like when the Bible says that. They rebuked them strongly. And it says, don't you use the name of Jesus again. We're glad that you are doing nice things. We're glad that you are helping people. But to use the name of Jesus Christ is something that we don't do. And we disapprove of it. And we won't have you doing that anymore. Now get out of here. Not in the nice way I do it. Get out of here. Don't come back. That, my friends, is something that we look at as a story so long ago and say, oh my goodness, that's horrible. What? Who would do such a thing? Why would the name of Jesus be so horrible that they would be forbidden to use that name? But I got to tell you, and I look at today's society, I look at today's culture, I look at what's going on in the world, not only outside of the world, but even within the church, nothing has changed. The name of Jesus Christ is still a name that produces controversy. It's still a name that people, when they hear it, have a reaction to it. Oh, sure, we can talk about God all we want, and we've turned God into this grandfatherly, you know, out of touch, way out there kind of being. Maybe he has something to say about the way we live our lives. We don't know. You know, he's out there somewhere doing whatever it is that God does while we live our lives here the way we want to live them. And don't let that thing or being, whatever that is out there, have any say in my life at all. That's what we've done with God. You know, out there somewhere. Nothing to do with us. But Jesus won't go away. Jesus won't be pushed out of the society. Jesus won't be set aside. Jesus refuses to die. Jesus, when he keeps coming back from the grave, he keeps continuing to when life seems like it's gone out of whack, when everything's out of source, it's the name of Jesus that draws us back into faithfulness, that draws us back into righteousness. The name of Jesus is the name that will stir the controversy in a way that God just won't do. Try telling someone the next time they sneeze, "Jesus blesses you." What? Because it's so strange. Oh, God bless you. We just say that. Oh, you know, God blesses you. Whatever. Jesus blesses me? What does that even mean? You will change the conversation that will take place. I have a friend of mine, a fellow pastor, who begins every prayer, "Dear Jesus." And it makes your ears go, "What do you mean, dear Jesus? That sounds strange," even within the confines of a church. He gets told to stop that all the time. "Why do you pray like that, dear Jesus? Don't do that anymore. You know, we don't want to hear prayers that begin that way." I wish I could say that this is something that's taking place far away, but it's within us. The name of Jesus stirs up controversy in a way that no other name does. And it always has. That's nothing new. And it always will. That's nothing new. When we proclaim Jesus is Lord, we are making a political statement. We are saying that this is the name that is above all names. This is the name that is above all politics. This is the name that is above all of the leaders that we would place in our lives. No president, no queen, no king, no dictator. No one has the power that Jesus Christ has as king, as Lord, not only of the world, but of individual lives. Jesus has something to say about the way we live our life. We don't like to hear that. We like to hear that God loves you all the time and we'll care for you and whatever, but he's out there somewhere. Jesus isn't content to be out there somewhere. Jesus wants right down into the depths of your soul, right down into the areas where you would rather no one else see and no one else go. That's exactly where Jesus will go. And he will work within you to transform those areas so they look less like the rest of the world and more like him. That's uncomfortable. That will challenge us. That, my friends, is really why you came here. You came here because you know, and I know, that there's no other name, no other name, nothing else out there that can give us what we need than that name of Jesus. I'm one of those strange pastors who every week you come here and you hear the same message again and again. Did you know that? You say, "Well, it always sounds new to me." No, it's the same message every week about Jesus and his salvation that he has in store for you. Three songs and a message. You get that every single week. You didn't know that, did you? Three songs and a message. Why do you keep coming back? It's the same thing every week. I'll tell you why you come back. It's because there's no other place that you can go in your life that you will hear those words, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is risen. That's why you keep coming here. You didn't come here to hear me. My goodness. You came here because this is the place where Jesus, you hear his name and you say, those are the words that lead to life. I'm a bad preacher in a lot of ways, because I'm supposed to be telling you how to apply the teachings of God to your everyday life and to be kind of your counselor as you go throughout your day. That's what the modern preacher does. I'm really bad at that. Don't ask me how to live your life. I can't live my own. Ask my wife. On second thought, don't ask my wife. She knows too much. But I tell you, friends, that's not why you came here. You came here because you want to hear about Jesus. You don't want to hear about me. You want to hear about what God is doing in the world. Jesus is doing in the world. That is crazy to the world. To come to a place and three songs and a message every single week, and you keep doing that? Where else would I go? What else would I do? There's nothing else that will fill my soul like the name of Jesus Christ. But it's controversial, isn't it? Let's go there. Let's go there. I'm feisty today. Let's talk about kneeling in the NFL. Oh my goodness, you all went, oh no. Let's talk about kneeling in the NFL that goes something like this. There was a man who was a mediocre quarterback named Tim Tebow. He beat the Steelers in the playoffs. I have never forgiven him. Mediocre quarterback, barely deserved mention in any kind of news articles. He was left-handed. He could barely throw the ball 20 yards. Everybody knows his name. You say Tim Tebow, they go, oh yeah, I know Tim Tebow. Why? It wasn't because he said, oh, glory to God for the great things in my life. Every NFL player says, oh, God help me to score that touchdown. He went to the heart of the matter, Tim Tebow did, because he said every time that he knelt on that field, every time that he praised God for the touchdown, he said, I thank God for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the center of my life, and Jesus Christ is the reason why I do the things I do. Who cares how far I throw a football as long as the message of Jesus Christ gets out into the world? Whatever happened to that guy? They booted him out of there. He got him out of there. Why? Because the name of Jesus Christ is controversial. You know, they can talk about God all they want, but Jesus Christ is the reason that man is known all around the world. And look at the great good that he's done. Look at the number of lives that he's touched. Because it's not about this nebulous out there somewhere God that no one can put a name around. It's because he proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ. When you do that, when you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus bless you, that will change that culture around you. And it won't be, oh, I'm so glad to hear about Jesus. It'll be, don't use that name. Don't talk about that guy. Because that's controversial. That's difficult. We don't want to have those conversations that this man who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that he is very exclusive, that he has the keys to life and death. We don't want to hear that kind of stuff. We just want to hear what tickles our ears. Who brought their Bible with you? Take a look at the front cover of a Bible. Take a look at the front cover of any Bible. Go to the store and look at the covers of the Bible and count the number of times you see the word new. Try it, Brett. I know you will. You will see new all over the place on a Bible cover. Why? Because that tickles our ears. Oh, there's something new going on there. No, friends, this word is as old as time. This word is old as existence. We slap a fancy name on it called new. I haven't taught anything new to you guys in 3 years. I haven't taught anything new. I teach very old stuff. I try to do it in a new way, but it's the same old message. And it's the only one I know how to preach. And I pray that I never learn a new one, because those are the words that lead to life. Jesus loves you. And so do I. Amen.